Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, it's Karamo, talk show host, life coach, and your next best friend. You just don't know it yet. I'm hosting a new podcast called Started on WhatsApp, Brotherhoods. We're going around the world to explore male friendships and all the wins, challenges, and bonds that are made in WhatsApp group chats. And that's exactly where you can listen to it. Right in the app. It's streaming on the official WhatsApp channel. Just open the app and go to the updates tab to start listening. While you're at it, message your best friend and make sure they listen too. I'll see you there.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team and every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger, banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
Yes, because you're right, Pony. Other pods don't do as good a job as us. The Steelers didn't do as good a job as they did last week. They go to L.A., take a thumping to Justin Herbert and the Chargers. So, Pony, you weren't confident in this, what we talked about on Friday. And normally I get on you about your pessimism, but I think you saw something in the Steelers going to L.A. this weekend. How did you foresee kind of the little bit of letdown that the Steelers had against the Chargers?
Well, I didn't think the offense would be this atrocious. I thought their defense was going to have a hard time repeating back-to-back strong performances. The defense didn't play great, but the defense played well enough to win. This was one of the worst offensive showings by the Steelers in years, and that's really saying something because – I had to live through Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett and Duck Hodges and all those guys. They had 3 points late in the fourth quarter. They didn't have a third down conversion until there were like 4 minutes left on the clock. Aaron Rodgers, to me, first time I've thought this way all year, Pat, Aaron Rodgers looked to me like he was thinking about retirement. I thought he was jittery. I thought he wanted to get rid of the ball. And sometimes his eyes went down and not stayed up. And that's the first time I remember watching him thinking, oh, my God, he actually looks like a 41-year-old quarterback. So I think whenever you're at this stage of your career, it's hard for people like me to just say, oh, it's one game, because people wonder when you've done something for more than 20 years if you're still able to do it at a high level. So it's extremely important now that he bounces back against a bad Bengals defense next week, because it's really been since the second half of the Packers game, Pat, this offense and Aaron Rodgers hasn't looked right. They won last week because they got 6 turnovers. The offense really didn't do much. And I thought that they were going to look considerably better than what we saw offensively. And really, I thought it was mostly on the quarterback in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I won't necessarily put it all on the quarterback because we know what Aaron Rodgers can do when he has time to throw the ball. Last night, he had no time to throw the ball. I mean, every single time he dropped back, he had to maneuver himself to give himself an opportunity to throw the ball cleanly. You know, Khalil Mack and the guys was like pretty much on Aaron Rodgers' tail every single time they had an opportunity to rush the passer. The running game was not there. And who is, I know, obviously your best players got to be, you know, be available and be able to be big time in these big time games in the Sunday night football game. But DK Metcalf, he cannot be the only receiver that Aaron Rodgers is targeting or has the trust in, or even go a step further, be the only guy that's productive in his offense. They need to find someone else. I'm surprised they didn't go and get someone out of the during the trade deadline, but they have to find another significant pass catcher in that offense. Pat Freiermuth has not been showing up. You know, last week the leading tight end was Washington. You know, we know he's probably going to end up being a tackle at some point in his career. You know, so they have to find someone else as a pass catcher that's going to be able to alleviate some of that pressure that Aaron has right now, because it looks like he don't trust anyone else besides DK Metcalf. So that's a big issue on the offensive side of the ball, and not being able to run the football. And defensively, as you said, they played well enough to win the ball game, but still, you know, a couple corners went out. Joey Porter was in and out of the lineup. Jalen had to play safety, nickel, corner, linebacker, a couple plays. Then Slay ended up getting banged up in that game. So they had to deal with a lot of injuries on the back end. So, you know, just the offense didn't do enough to help them win that ball game. Only having 3 points in the first half is unexcusable, especially knowing, you know, with the performance that they had last week. I know you just talked about the 6 turnovers helped that the defense was able to be able to get. But Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf, you would expect much more out of that Pittsburgh offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Expect much more out of the offense. Defense did play well, though, or played good enough to win, as Pony said. Shout out TJ Watt. He's now only a half sack behind older brother JJ Watt for the family lead. And when he gets that, I know Thanksgiving will get much more interesting at the Watt household for who has the bragging rights for that family. Now let's go to the Patriots and the Bucks, because I'm sad. Pat's happy. Pat, you called the upset pick here. Patriots coming down to Raymond James and the pirate ship and acting the part of Buccaneers and robbing us in our home turf. So what did you see in this win? What stood out to you as the Patriots continue rolling and make it 7 in a row?
Man, quite frankly, this was the game of the week. The game of the week that they had slated was a blowout, which was the 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. But this was a great game from the start. You know, just a slugfest from both sides. Both offenses, you know, made plays throughout that game. Both defenses, you know, made some critical plays throughout that game. And it just came down to who was going to be better in the critical moments. And quite frankly, the New England Patriots and Drake May was just that. You know, Baker Mayfield tried to put a little pressure on him to put some of that Baker magic in the fourth quarter against the New England Patriots. But the defense did a great job of, you know, of making sure that did not happen. Drake May just continued to play flawless football, to be quite honest with you as well. 16 of 31, 270 yards, two touchdowns, one costly, not costly interception, but one bad interception. I thought, and I know he wish he can have that back. And only getting sacked one time. So this team is just continuing to get better. The confidence that they're playing with right now is unmatched. You know, they have a head coach that understands what comes with, you know, not only winning, but what comes with that target being on your back. You know, with him being however many Super Bowl champion, I believe he was a three-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, and being with Bill Belichick and being with Tom Brady and the guys, he's bringing that same mantra back to Boston. You know, so it's good to see what this young football team is doing right now. Henderson went crazy, going for 14 carries for 147 yards, two touchdowns. That was something that was significant in that game as well. You know, so if the New England Patriots can continue playing like this, man, again, not only Drake May can win the MVP, but this may be a team to watch out for in the AFC.
The Patriots won the game because they won what coaches around the NFL call the middle eight, which is the last 4 minutes of the second half and the first 4 minutes of the first half. Mm-hmm. And coaches really stressed that part of a game in terms of if you win that chunk of the game, you outscore your opponent there, you usually win. And New England got a touchdown with no time left at the end of the first half. They went for it. They didn't kick the field goal. And Drake May threw a touchdown pass that made it 14-10 at the half. Diggs caught a touchdown pass there to end it, fourth and goal. And then right to start, they get the ball back to start the second half. And that's when Henderson rips off a 55-yard touchdown run. So Baker Mayfield, without touching the ball, stood on the sideline and watched a 10-7 lead turn into a 21-10 deficit. That's your game right there. That's where they lost. That's where New England won it. A
double dip.
Yep. And, you know, I thought all things considered, Baker played a good game with the injuries. Tez Johnson scored two touchdowns. But it was that period of the game, and it was the rookies of the Patriots stepping up with Kyle Williams catching a touchdown pass and two from Travion Henderson, which made all the difference in this huge Patriots win with the Bills losing that shocker to the Dolphins. And with what we've seen from Denver, there's no reason with the schedule they have why New England can't get the number one seed in the entire AFC and have a bye, which would be a surprise to a lot of people, though we liked him on this podcast before the season started because we were high on May and we knew that their schedule was the easiest in the entire NFL.
I was picking the Patriots as my surprise team in the NFL. I'm even surprised at where they sit, you know, going into week 11 in the NFL season. Also, somewhere out there, Travion Henderson is still running and checking for his sideline if he can score, if he should go down. That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, that he had time to look at the sideline and ask, should I go into the end zone or should I go down? You know, who's also pretty sad are the Falcons. The only thing that makes my loss better is that the rest of the NFC South is losing too. The Falcons go to Germany and lose an OT. Jonathan Taylor is a walk-off TD in OT. Was he the biggest reason that the Colts leave Berlin with a win?
He probably is. And I had the Falcons as my upset pick. And I thought with about 2 minutes left in the game, I was going to hit it. And then Atlanta let Daniel Jones pick up almost an entire 3rd and 21.
Man,
with his legs. And that's when he got popped in the mouth and started bleeding all over the place. And then Tyler Warren caught the ball on fourth down and they went on to win the game in overtime. But yeah, you've got to say it was Taylor because he's doing historic things. He had an 83-yard touchdown in this game, which is the longest in the NFL this year. He had 286 yards from scrimmage. It's hard to say that he shouldn't win the MVP, but then again, Saquon Barkley didn't get a look last year. And Barkley was, you know, a few yards shy of setting an all-time single-season rushing record. So if he can't win it, I don't know how Jonathan Taylor does it. The reason why I'm a little bit split on this is Atlanta was 0 for 8 on third down. They did not convert a third down the entire game. And it's more, you know, peaks and valleys from this offense with these great skill position players, Bijan London, and Pitt supposedly, where, you know, you still have things like that in a game that make no sense. So Jonathan Taylor obviously stole the show, but Atlanta, for the third straight game against a good team, they lost to New England by a point last week. They're right there against a good team. But as you like to say about the Cardinals, Pat, they just can't finish.
Yeah, man, Atlanta is right there. You know, the defense is playing pretty well. You know, they last year they couldn't find or they couldn't sniff, you know, anywhere far as pressure on a quarterback. And this year they're doing that at a very, very high rate. You know, made Daniel Jones very flustered throughout that game. If Jonathan Jones don't have the game that he have, Atlanta wins this ball game easily. Just because Jonathan Taylor, you know, 244 yards, three touchdowns. Oh no! And oh, by the way, this is his fourth game with three touchdowns. You know what I mean? So I know that's you said insane. Saquon Barkley did not get, you know, any looks last year, but if Jonathan Taylor continued to run the way that he's running, and he's on pace as well to break the record, he's on pace to break two records: all-purpose touchdowns and rushing yards right now. Because if I'm not mistaken, yeah, he's at 11. He's at 1,100 yards right now. So we're midway. He got eight more games. So it's possible that he can break both of those records. So if he end up breaking both of those records, it's no doubt in my mind that Jonathan Taylor will be the league's MVP.
It'll be a real sad day if he gets announced as offensive player of the year at the end of the year, as everyone will know, that MVP is going elsewhere. But the Colts get a big win. They stay at the top of the AFC, and the Falcons have to figure it out and try to keep their name.
Wait, James. You said if he get named as offensive player of the year, we'll be sad because you know it's going somewhere else. Hell, if he gonna get both of them.
I don't think so. I'm a James optimist.
I like the optimism, Pat, because I think we got to change the narrative of the
NBA. We have to, man.
I think Drake May is gonna get it if they finish with the best record. That's my prediction.
We'll have a very interesting first in pod debate if and when that happens.
Yes, if that happens, I'm gonna be so upset just because
nothing against Drake May.
Doing this, man. This man is on a record breaking year. Yes, we understand that quarterbacks drive the football team, but MVP goes to the best player, not the most important player, the best player.
And that is a word from Patrick Peterson. I agree. Let's go to the Jaguars and the Texans, because I had this game on in the first half, saw the score, went elsewhere. I came back at the end, and DeMeco Ryans is in the end zone celebrating with his defense as they erase a 19-point deficit. How did the Texans do this, and where do the Jaguars go from here? How did they blow this game?
Man, Trevor Lawrence got to get out of his own way. You know, they have to find ways to – there's no way they should have lost that ball game. There's no way he should have thrown that interception to a D lineman in the fashion that he did. And with, you know, Liam Cohen in this offense and having that running pedigree that he's known for, I'm just surprised that they didn't lean on the running game late in the fourth quarter. I felt like they – kudos to them that they stayed aggressive. But you also got to be mindful who your quarterback is. And I believe that's what lost them that ball game. They did not get and do what the Jacksonville Jaguars is known for, which is running the football, getting yourself in position. They didn't score a point. They didn't put themselves in position to score a single point in the fourth quarter. Not even a – yeah. I wish I had the stat right now to see how many first downs they converted in that fourth quarter. But it was a very low number. But, yeah, they have to find a way to finish out that fourth quarter, man. Being up 19 against a backup quarterback, you got this team up against the road, a divisional opponent on the road. You have to finish out those games. And for Houston, they just continue just to claw to keep themselves in the game. Wells made a couple plays with his feet and with his arm. Defense came up with a couple stops. Stingley with a nice one-hand interception. And they just did, you know, just made the big time plays when they needed to down the stretch, you know. So this was a bad, terrible loss by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fashion that they lost this ball game, because this really could have put them in a really, really good position in the AFC South. So now they just gave the Houston Texans an opportunity, gave them life to try to capture, you know, the AFC South again for however many years that they have won the AFC South.
Jacksonville was 53-0 all time, went up 19 points. So this is a historic loss for them. They'd never lost a game like that. I mean, I thought if they scored 29 points, they'd win the game. They're facing Davis Mills, and Houston's defense has been elite all year. I think that's the most points that got scored against them all season. And it wasn't good enough because of what you said, what went on in the fourth quarter offensively. Part of the problem for Jacksonville offensively in the fourth quarter was that that last drive by Houston to win the game took almost 7 minutes. They couldn't get the ball back. They couldn't get their defense off the field. It was a 93-yard drive. It started at their own seven. They went all the way downfield there. I thought there was a pretty sketchy pass interference penalty that set Houston up with first and goal. Christian Kirk drew it. I thought it was kind of a flimsy call, but whatever. Those are the breaks. You make your own breaks. You know, all they needed really was like one first down at the end because their kicker can make a 70-yard field goal. So that's the other part of this. Like, they still, with the touchback rules, had a chance to win the game even after blowing the lead, and they couldn't get it done. The strip sack to win it as time ran out. So I said on the podcast on Friday morning that this is a game Jacksonville needs to win. You've got your $100 million to $200 million quarterback going up against a backup quarterback. Win the game, and he couldn't get it done, and he turned the ball over, like you said. So I do think it's a big-time deflating loss for Jacksonville. I'm not saying they're completely out of the wild card race, but this is a killer. And Houston feels like they're back in it because they're going to play Tennessee next week. And if they win that game, they'll be 500 with seven games left. They'll be 5-5. And they'll feel like if they can get to 10 wins, they'll be in good shape to make the playoffs, which would, you know, all they'd have to do at that point is go 5-2 in their last seven games, which is not out of the question. It helped. It saves Houston's season, essentially, is what happened in this comeback win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.